Returning God's Word this morning to Proverbs 6. We continue our series, our baptism series this morning on Proverbs for parenting, and see what the Word of God has to say here in this chapter of Proverbs about work. The text will be verses 6 through 11. We're going to read the first 11 verses of Proverbs 6. We read the Word of God there. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. And now begins the text. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Thus far we read God's word. May God bless the reading of it to our hearts and to our lives. Remember that in the book of Proverbs we have the wisdom of Jesus Christ for parenting. In much of the book of Proverbs, we are given to hear, to listen in on the parenting of Solomon as he speaks to his son. But it's not just any father speaking to his son, we just have a record of it, and then it would be pretty nice for us to follow this. But we have to remember as well that this is in the Holy Scriptures. It's in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. We hear perfect parenting here as it's recorded for us in the book of Proverbs. We have, as we have said, Godly Parenting 101 in the book of Proverbs. We saw in the last passage we looked at in Proverbs chapter 4, that the principal thing that we as parents are to teach our children is wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom is living in obedience to God, but not just living in obedience to God, but understanding this about God, that God is our Savior, that He is the one who has redeemed us from our sins. So seeing and knowing that God is our Redeemer, we are to live out of that truth. Wisdom is living out of the reality of God's truth. That wisdom includes understanding. Understanding is reality. It's teaching our children to see life from the perspective of God's truth, so that they see life from that perspective and then live out of that perspective. Wisdom then is the application of that understanding. It's making choices that are right as they're in agreement then with the Word of God. But that is in general what parents are supposed to teach their children. They're to teach their children that wisdom. But we see in the book of Proverbs there are particulars when it comes to that. There are specifics that Solomon teaches his own son about the life of wisdom. There's work. There's finances. There's sexual purity. There's friendships. There's what it means to live in godliness and holiness. And we hope, going forward, to look at some of these specifics and some of these particulars. The specific and particular area that is focused on in the text is the area of work. We listen in here this morning as Solomon teaches his son that he must not be lazy, but instead he must work hard. From the text, you can easily picture Solomon by the side of his son's bed, trying to wake him up in the morning so that he would get up to do some meaningful work there in the palace. And by the way, that's quite striking, isn't it? If there would be anybody in all of Israel who thought he didn't have to work, it would be the king's son. He had everything. Solomon's palace was amazingly beautiful. Solomon's kingdom, we know, was a kingdom of great riches. It was the pinnacle of prosperity in the life of Israel. And yet there's Solomon, by his son's bed, trying to wake him up in the morning to go to work. And he says, "How long will you sleep, O sluggard? Get up and get to work." Maybe as parents we can relate. Not just from the fact that sometimes maybe we've had to stand at the side of one of our children's beds, but maybe we can relate because we were the ones in that bed at one time and our parents were trying to get us up to go to work in the morning. But as Solomon does this, he points his son to something that's striking as well. He says, "Son, go to the ant. Look at the ant. Look how hard the ant works. You've been created to work. You must go to work as well." What we see from the passage is that as parents, we have the calling to teach our children to work. We have the calling to teach our children to work diligently, because working diligently and faithfully is not a matter of preference, but it's an ordinance of God for each and every one of us. This is the calling that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to see this morning that we are called as servants of Jesus Christ to work diligently and faithfully in the callings that God has given to us. And as parents, we are to teach our children these very things. And that's what we do in our homes. So it may be there's a little preschooler standing on a stool, putting silverware away in the silverware drawer out of the dishwasher. Or the kindergartner who's learning his ABCs and how to color. Or the eighth grader taking tests and doing math assignments and English assignments. Or the 12th grader getting ready for college, and maybe that last semester is a pretty easy semester and you feel like taking it easy. To those of us who have jobs, to the wives and mothers who are working in the homes, we are called to work. And this is the wisdom that is set before us, the wisdom of work. That's the wisdom that is set before us here in the text, that we must teach to our children by setting before our children an example from the very creation in which we live. Go to the ant. So we consider this morning, in our continued series in Proverbs for Parenting, teaching the wisdom of the ant. Teaching the wisdom of the ant. First of all, notice that the text addresses laziness. And secondly, it teaches the wisdom of work. As I said, the text is a father teaching his son not to be lazy, first of all, by pointing him to the ant. He says here in the text, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." Now, we'll have more to say in a few moments about ants and the way in which they work. But we understand that. You've not seen an ant rest. You've not seen an ant take a break. Ants are constantly busy and they're constantly moving. So this says something to the one who is lazy, to the sluggard. Get to work. And that's what the sluggard is. The sluggard is someone who is lazy. Solomon found in the life of his own son laziness, and so Solomon is addressing the laziness of his son. Laziness, or one who is lazy, is this. He's someone who has work to do. He has the ability to do that work, but refuses to do that work, or refuses to work as hard as he should, or refuses to work with the right attitude. In the end, the lazy man is one who really doesn't want to work. He despises work. He does everything that he can to get out of work. We find in the text, and then many other passages in the book of Proverbs, that there are four characteristics of a man who is lazy. And by the way, there are many passages in the book of Proverbs in which Solomon addresses laziness, and we want to look at some of those passages as well. It's the way you have to look at Proverbs, somewhat thematically. You don't go right through it verse by verse because there is some repetition in the book, because, of course, parents are repeating themselves in the instruction that they give to their children. So the same is true here in regard to work and laziness. The first characteristic of laziness is this. The lazy man is a procrastinator. He's a procrastinator. Procrastination is part of laziness. That may be painful for many of us to hear, myself included. But there are those things in our lives that we would say, maybe, why do today what I can do tomorrow? The son of Solomon was lazy in his procrastination. That's evident from what we read in verse 10. We read, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. That was the attitude of Solomon's son. He wants to put off his work and sleep longer. I need more sleep, he is saying. I can put it off, that work, I can do it later. That's what a procrastinator does. He wastes time so that a day may pass without accomplishing very little. He may have something to do and say that he has done something, but in the end, what he has done is not productive. It was not working. And then because he waits to the last minute to get things done, what he does is not done very well or in a right way. It's not done to the best of his ability. It gets a lick and a promise. Procrastination is part of laziness. And a lazy man, secondly, doesn't finish his work. He's the man or woman that begins a task maybe with great enthusiasm, but that enthusiasm soon fades and the work or the project remains unfinished. That's what's described for us in Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, verse 27. We read there, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Again, Proverbs 12, 27 is that you have a man who goes out hunting on opening day. He's all excited about the hunt. And then he sees that deer, that nice big buck, or that big doe that's down there in the valley. He sets his sights on it. He aims and he shoots. And the deer falls right there in the spot. But the problem is now that deer is down in that valley. And I can't get the quad down there, speaking in today's terms. And what that means is I have to go down into that valley. And I have to dress that deer and cut it into pieces and then pack it all out up that large hill or up that mountain. It's too much work. So that man just leaves the meat to rot there in that place. Proverbs 12:27 says that's what the lazy man does. He begins something, he doesn't finish it. The lazy man's life is filled with unfinished projects, not because he doesn't really have time, but because he's lazy. He just doesn't feel like finishing those projects. And third, the lazy man is full of excuses for why he cannot finish those projects or do the work that he is called to do. And we find many of those excuses found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 6, verse 10, we read this morning, is really an excuse that's found here of Solomon's son. He's saying, I need to sleep more. Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. I need more sleep. That's why I can't go to work. There are other excuses. You go to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, verses 13 through 16. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. The emphasis there is that the slothful man has all kinds of excuses. He maybe hears some report that there's a lion in the area, and so he says, I can't go out and work because that lion may come upon me and eat me. I will be destroyed by that lion. Yet the same thing, Proverbs 22, verse 13. Same idea. Slothful man said, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Or Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. He says, I can't go out and work in that. It's much too cold for me in that kind of weather. What comes out in those verses is that the lazy man has absolutely absurd excuses for why he cannot work. And to us, those excuses seem absurd and ridiculous, but to the lazy man, they seem like reality to him. In his own world, in his own reality, those things are real. He's convinced himself that these things are legitimate. And so he makes such excuses for not working and for his lack of productivity. He's a man who's all talk and no work. But the last thing we find out about a lazy man is what's in his heart. And his heart is discontent and dissatisfaction. That comes out in Proverbs 21. Dissatisfaction and discontentment. Proverbs 21, verses 25 and 26. The desire of the slothful man killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. That's what's in the lazy man's heart. This is what consumes a lot of his time. He's coveting. He has all these desires and he has all these good intentions. And he thinks if he just does this and he just does that, then he will have everything that his heart wants. But the reality is, he's unhappy and he's jealous of others because he's not content with what God has given to him. The lazy man in the end begins to think that life isn't fair. He feels that he is a victim. He covets what everyone else has, and he thinks that they've obtained it in a way that is not legitimate or right. And in the end, because he thinks that way, he refuses to work hard in his own life. In the end, what it comes down to is the lazy man, and that's how we have to see this, he fails to view life in connection with God. He fails to view life in a Godward orientation. He's looking only at himself and he's looking only at what he sees with his eyes instead of being focused on serving God in the place where God has put him and in the work that God has given him to do. That's the outlook. The lazy man becomes selfish and focused on himself instead of living to serve God. Now what we learn here from the text is how a godly father and how godly parents address the sin of laziness in their children. Remember, go to the ant. See how hard the ant works. But as the parent points that out, one of the ways that the parent, Solomon here in the text, points out this sin of laziness to his son is by pointing out the consequences of that sin. A father, parents, say to their children, if you're not going to do the work, if you're going to do your work half-heartedly, if I tell you to make your bed and all you do is throw the top cover off and then you open it up at night when you go to bed and all the rest of the blankets are stuffed yet at the end, if I tell you to clean your room and all you do is stuff everything in the closet and shut the doors, or when I tell you to take out the trash and all you do is throw the trash bag right outside the door of the house instead of taking it all the way to the trash can, there are consequences for that if you continue to live in this way. That's what Solomon is saying to his son. There are consequences for living in this way. That's what we read in verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The idea here is that laziness will result in poverty. The traveler and the armed man refers to a thief. The thief who comes maybe when a family's sleeping and steals from their home, or when they're away on vacation or away for the day, the thief comes into the home and steals everything that those people have. What Solomon is saying is that that's what laziness is. It's like a thief. And the result of laziness will be that you have very little, or in the end, you will have nothing. That's what we read throughout the Scriptures. That's what we read in 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. We read there, the Apostle Paul saying to the church in Thessalonica, if any would not work, neither should he eat. If you don't work, you're not going to eat. Poverty will come. But there's something else we should understand. The poverty that is the result of laziness is not simply physical poverty. It's not, I won't have money for things. There's a spiritual poverty that is the result, because the old saying is true. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. If a man or woman does not work and is not productive, Satan fills the void. He fills the void with temptation and sinful thoughts. That's part of 2 Thessalonians 3 as well. Verse 11, for we hear, the very next verse, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. That's what happened to the church in Thessalonica. See, the idea was that they were thought that because Jesus Christ was coming very soon, they quit their work, they quit their jobs, and they were just waiting. But the problem was that they had nothing to occupy their time. And they were getting themselves into trouble. They were walking in sinfulness. That's what happens when we don't work like we should. We get ourselves into a lot of trouble. We know that's dangerous for our children. We know that in our homes, especially in the summer months. If we don't give them something to do in our homes, often they're getting into trouble, whether they're young or they're older. And of course, teenagers today, they would like to spend their day playing video games, watching TV. But all that does is fill their minds with the things of this world. And then along with that, they may get into bad relationships and bad friendships. And they're out getting into trouble with others in the neighborhood. And that's true when we're older as well, if we're not busy and working hard. Other things will fill that void. It's bad for us spiritually not to work. That's what Solomon is pointing out to his son. That's what we as parents then must teach our children. We're reminded here that as parents we have a calling. As we are to teach our children wisdom to address laziness by setting before them the consequences of this and giving examples of this as well. Part of what we're reminded to do as parents is, here's a powerful way to teach your children. Point them to the creation. Go to the ant. God, and that's pointing them to God really, because God has created the ant a certain way. And an ant is known for this, working hard. So as parents, we can point to the ant and we can point to other things in the creation and say to our children, learn from these things in the creation. We have much to learn from the creation. If the ant doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Same thing for you. Secondly, we must remind our children that laziness is related to their relationship with God. We must remind them that God does not tolerate this sin. He hates this sin as much as He hates any other sin. And so they are reminded then that part of their service of God is being diligent and faithful in work. This is part of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Work. But parents, as those who are called to teach our children about laziness, this means too that we must recognize this sin in ourselves. You see, laziness is what's in us by nature. We are those who know that struggle ourselves to one degree. or another. This sin is part of our sinful natures, not just of our children, but for us as well. We maybe can think back to the time when we were young and we had some laziness that we were battling against, and we can use that to teach our children, yep, I was that way too, and it was wrong and it was sinful, and I learned that I must repent of that sin and that I must work hard. And sometimes we're not going to feel like working hard, and you're not going to feel like working hard, but we don't base what we do in our lives on feelings. We base what we do in our lives on the Word of God and what God Himself says. And He says we are to work hard. And not only is this part of our sinful natures, but this is part of the culture in which we live. We live in a world that promotes doing as little as possible and getting as much as we can out of this world. And that's appealing to our sinful natures. You know, we see it, we can see it in others, that there are those who want to abuse the welfare system of our country, and we can be in an outrage about that, that they just want a handout, they just want to get things from the government and not work. But what about the laziness in us? And have our children and their laziness learned it from us? Where do we procrastinate? Where do we make excuses? Or where do we not have a proper balance between work and rest as God demands in His Word? But this is a way in which we show that we are different in our homes. We work that so that we're not lazy, but we strive to work hard in the callings that God has given to us. And so that's the wisdom here. The text teaches us the wisdom of work that we are to impart to our children. And the wisdom of work positively is learned from the ant. Solomon says to his son, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." There is wisdom to be found in the ant. In the text, God sends us to the anthill. And that's very humbling. He sends us to the anthill. Today in our culture, the ones who others would send us to are those who developed businesses out of nothing. The world would point us to men like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and Donald Trump, or others who started their own companies, who've worked hard, basically raising their companies out of nothing so that they have much and they are millionaires. And the world says, look to these men and follow their model and their example. And the Word of God says, no. Don't look there. Go to the ant. When you see that ant on your kitchen floor and it's found that crumb that was left behind, maybe because the children didn't sweep well enough, they didn't do their job faithfully, they find that crumb on the floor. Sometimes you'll see ants carrying something that's bigger than that ant themselves. Now God says, when you see that ant, don't let your first response, "I'll kill it. Get the spray out. I don't want ants in my kitchen." Before you do that, learn something from the ant. It's as if God is saying to us this morning, pull out a chair and you see an ant pile, go sit there for a while and watch the ants in that ant pile and watch what they do. And here's what they do. They work hard. You kids know that. You've seen ants in the driveway. Have you ever seen an ant stop and take a break? No, they're constantly moving. Perpetual motion might be a good description of the ant. The ants are self-motivated. The text tells us they don't have an overseer, they don't have a ruler, they don't have a boss. They just keep working. They don't stop moving, they don't fight with one another, they simply work. They do the work that is before them. And so God says to us this morning, go to the ant. Don't go to the snail, don't go to the turtle, don't go to the sloth, go to the ant. Because there God teaches us the wisdom about work. And remember that wisdom is living life out of the reality of God's truth. Here's God's truth about work. God has created man to work. That was God's design from the very beginning. God commanded Adam, even before he fell into sin, that he was to work. Genesis 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Paradise was not just a grand vacation where Adam and Eve did nothing. They worked, and they worked hard. But then after the fall into sin, that work became harder because of the consequences of the fall. God said to Adam after he fell, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt labor." Understand, work is not the curse, but the difficulty of work and the bad attitudes that we have, that is part of the curse. That's part of the consequences of sin. But work itself is a good thing. We heard in the fourth commandment this morning, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But there's one day that God has given for rest. We are to work. And the reason that we are to work is because God Himself is a God who works. He works. He worked when He created the world in 6 days and then He rested. And that doesn't mean that from then on God ceased from all work. But the idea is that God now does a different work. The creative work is finished. Now God is working and upholding the creation and ruling over all things. And God is the one who ceaselessly works. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He never needs a break in His work. He is a God who is constantly working. And now our calling is, as His people, to reflect that in our lives. Not by working 24 hours a day. No, of course not. We know we can't do that. But by working diligently and faithfully in the callings that He has given to us. And God says, now in that way of working, I will provide the things that you need. This is what we are to teach our children. God's wisdom for work is that we are to work hard and diligently in the callings that He has given to us. We are to be good stewards of the gifts that He has given. We are to be good stewards of the time that He has given. And He expects us to work hard and diligently, and in that work to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. I call your attention to the important Word of God in Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 23. We read there, "And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." That's how we are to do our work, in the service of God. When you're folding the laundry, when you're washing the dishes, when you're sweeping the kitchen floor, when you're doing some of the menial and non-glamorous tasks that you must do during a day, that work is all the service of Jesus Christ. That is how we must see work in our lives in connection with God and our Savior. And we as parents must teach our children and learn as parents as well that God has put us in this world to work and to labor in the vocation and place that God has given to us. Some He calls to work in a factory. Some are pastors, some are teachers, some are builders, some are farmers, some are salesmen, some are business owners, some are mothers in the home, others of you are students in school. That's the work that God has given you to do. And we are to teach our children that this is the place that God has given to them. We can be assured that there's going to be some opposition when we teach work. We live in a world that is filled with many temptations to laziness, and our children have sinful natures, and we have those sinful natures as well. We live in a world that prizes pleasure and rest. Work is viewed as a necessary evil just to get one to the weekend and to things that one really wants to do. Our culture emphasizes that pleasure, vacation, wealth, weekend, early retirement, laboring for the goal of the things of this world. But the Word of God says to us, no, work is much different for us. We have callings that come from God, and we are to do those callings with thanksgiving to Him. That begins with teaching our children that in our homes. We teach them right, work before play. You want to play a game? You want to go outside and play? Well, there are some other things that must be done first. And we teach our children that in those things, they're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. When they do jobs around the house, and we assign around the house, and we assign those jobs, even when they're very young, right? You mow the lawn, you're putting the dishes away, you're setting the table, you're picking up the table after supper. The way in which you do that says whom you serve. If you do it grumpily, not happily, you're not serving God and you're not serving Jesus Christ. When we do it happily and joyfully and cheerfully, then we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we're older, we have work that God gives us to do. As I listed some of them, some are housewives, others are builders, others are farmers, others are salesmen. Whatever work we do, we are the servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We should not think that only ministers and missionaries and Christian school teachers, that they only have service in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's assigned to each one of you a place in the kingdom. And your work that you do is part of your place in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so whether you're folding laundry or drying dishes or feeding cattle or building a house or fixing teeth or being a doctor or being a salesman selling something, you're doing this in the service of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And you children and young people, when you're in school and you're learning there in school, you are to work hard in that work too. Not saying, well, what's the use of this? I'm never going to use this later on in my life. No, it's part of developing the gifts and the abilities that God has given to you. And God doesn't demand of you all that you get A's and B's. And your parents shouldn't demand that that's what you get on your report card unless they know that that's what you're able to do. But what we demand, what the Lord Jesus Christ demands, is that you do your best. That you work hard. You work hard in your homework. You work hard in preparing for tests. Not for a good grade, but to serve Jesus Christ. That's the lesson of wisdom we learned from the ant. Children, young people, go to the ant. Men and women in your work every day, go to the ant and be wise. The other thing we learned from this is that we are to be balanced in our work between work and rest. We can't always work. Our bodies can't do it. Physically, we're unable to work 20 or 24 hours in a day. But we should understand when we talk about work, the work that we have is not just the work we have in our vocation and calling when we're at work. There's other work that we do, especially for us men. You see, working is not just about working 40 hours a week because that's the average or what the world says one should work. But we are called to work 6 days. Now, that doesn't mean that at our job we have to be there 6 days a week. But we understand that there's other work that we are called to do as fathers and as men in our homes. We must understand then that the work that we do in our vocation, our calling, must not take us away from those other callings that we have. Sometimes I get that question. I'm working this many hours in the week, and I don't know, is that right for me to work that much? Well, there's no law that says you may only work 60 hours in a week or only 40 hours in a week. You have to take into consideration what it takes to provide for your family, but also we have to take into consideration, men, the other callings that we have, the work that God gives to us. And we understand as men that when we punch out at the end of the day, whether it's 8 hours or 12 hours or 16 hours, when we go home, our work isn't done. We have work to do as husbands, and we have work to do as fathers. That's part of the work that God calls us to do. And so there must be balance, a proper balance in that work to which God calls us. Balancing the vocation we have with the other work and callings that God has given to us. A lazy man will not work faithfully on the job or in these other callings. But we must understand that a good marriage takes hard work. Having a strong family that's growing so that our children are like olive plants round about our tables, that takes work for us as parents. Mothers, you know that. There's no punching in and punching out when you're a mother. It's work that's almost constant from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night. There's all kinds of work for us to be doing in our lives, men and women and children. But may God use this word this morning to encourage us to be faithful in our work and to teach our children, the next generation, that they are to work hard. That's not an easy task. In our day, we have all kinds of distractions. Distractions of technology. Distractions of our smartphones and our computers and all of the rest. But we have to remember day by day, in the work we have, God calls us to work diligently and faithfully. To do that in the service of Him, keep our eyes focused up in our work. Our work is not separate from the Christian life. May we see every day that the callings we have in home, in the workplace, at school, this is all the work that we must do in the service of God. May God deliver us from laziness, and may He strengthen us to work hard for His glory. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the work that Thou dost give us to do in this life. As Thy people, we want to work. We want to work not just for ourselves so that we have the things of this earth we need, but we want to work so that we can serve the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and so that we can serve Thee, our God. Strengthen us as parents that we would teach our children to work. Also, Father, we pray for Thy blessing upon other work that is done within the church. We're thankful, Father, for the work of elders and deacons, and we pray in this morning as well for the work that will be done this afternoon as there is a class led here for men to prepare them for the work of the eldership and for men who are in the office too. We pray for Thy blessing upon that work today. Pray for all Thy blessing upon all the work of the church and the work that is done in our covenant homes as well in the Christian schools, that this work may be for the glory of Thy name. It's in Jesus' name alone that we pray. Amen.